It's a full house this weekend with multiple Murray State Racer events. On Friday, your two-time defending OVC volleyball champions take the court at Racer Arena to face UT Martin in the OVC home opener at 7. On Saturday, the day opens with the third annual Racer 5K run, followed by Racer volleyball at 2 p.m. Then your Murray State football team battles Southeast Missouri in the OVC opener at 6. Don't miss out on any of the weekend events. Call for tickets at 270-809-3000. And for more information, visit GoRacers.com.
1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome to the program. It is Monday, another week in the books as far as college football goes, and not the performance we were wanting to see from the Racer football team as they took it on the chin from Southern Illinois by a score of 50-17. Just again, early mistakes. The Racers in a 17-0 hole with just under 8 minutes to play. The opening kickoff after the Racers won the toss. EJ Davis takes that back for a touchdown. It's 7-0. Before the game, we learned that Katie Humphreys wouldn't be going. We could see him. It wasn't in street clothes, actually, but he wasn't in uniform either. So we knew he wasn't going to be playing. And the Racers went with the backup quarterback, Cameron Burse. In his first series, he's intercepted through another pick. But all in all, not a horrible time considering the little amount of time he's had to work with the Racer offense. 15 of 29, 210 yards, did throw a touchdown, but did have the two picks. But for the Racers, they were just kind of rolled over, to be honest about it, in terms of not being able to run the football again. Now, they did end up having late yardage in the running column, but you know, by then, SIU playing second and third stringers to be just as brutal as we can be about it. And it just didn't go well. By the time the Racers got the running game going, they were out of it for the most part. Saluki offense, really good, 269 yards on the ground, 289 in the air, 558 total. Josh Strong, that quarterback, the real deal, 27 for 34, 289 yards, four touchdown passes, didn't throw a pick. Daquan Isom also ran for 104 yards on 15 carries. Chase Allen led their defense with 10 tackles. And for the Racers, the offensive highlight, Jordan Gandy, another 100-yard game. He had over 100 receiving yards, finished with 106 on three catches, including the 64-yard pass that helped set up a field goal. He also scored a touchdown. But in the second half, SIU basically shut him out. They decided Gandy wasn't going to be the guy to beat him, so they didn't give him a touch. I don't even know if he was targeted. Might have been targeted once or twice, but I don't remember that. But he didn't get a catch. DeMontre Wade, Zachary Wade leading the Murray State defense with 9 tackles each. DeMontre had 5 pass breakups on the night, and Zachary Wade had a fumble recovery. Also, you know, you're talking about a highlight, but it's a good one. Landon Stratton with a good punting night. He had a 78-yard punt. That was great, but SIU would take that the length of the field then on a really nice drive that ended up with points. But he ended up with 49.4 average on his punts on the night, so it was really good. Also, we got to see Mario McGraw carry the ball for the first time in a while. I think he carried it 2 or 3 times in the Illinois game. Well, the first time he touched it, he rambled 68 yards on the far sideline, went in for a fourth-quarter touchdown. And that, just to show you how the rushing total was, that run and then a couple others let him finish with 78 yards on 5 carries, and he was the leading rusher for the Racers. Well, after the game, as you can imagine, you know, one likes to be 0-3, but this was the first game where Coach Mitch Stewart wasn't happy at all with the team's performance. And, you know, as usual, the coaches, they sometimes will change their mind when they see film, and we may get that today at the press conference. I don't know. But here are his post-game comments, and we did have some problems. If you were listening, we do apologize. Just had some wireless mic issues, but we do record down on the field as well. So here is his entire post-game conversation with Dave Winder.
You just kind of met with our local media, and, you know, there's not a lot of good in this one tonight. I know you're not very happy.
No, I'm not very happy at all. We got a lot of soul-searching to do in that locker room right now. It's like I told them, way too many one-on-one matchups that we're not won. way too many big plays that were not made. You know, it would be one thing. I would feel very disheartened if I was looking out there and I saw kids being put in bad situations, but I'm seeing a lot of players being put in the best situations that we can put them in. You know, I watch a quarterback run over us down here on the 1 yard line for a touchdown. You know, obviously the big ball to Malik that was dropped. There's a couple of them, little fade balls that are one-on-one opportunities that we drop. Our run blocking right now is horrendous, other than the last, you know, Mario McGraw popped off that big one. You know, so just to be honest with you, Dave, right now, I mean, that fireworks show was the best thing I saw tonight.
Well, and you can't dig yourself a 17-0 hole and expect to get out of it, too. And that started with the opening kickoff going back, and then a quick interception, and you guys were fighting it from that point on.
Yeah, well, the problem is we don't have the mentality right now of, it's like I told the guys when all that happened, I said, that was a bad series of events. That's not even real football. Those are a couple of things that happened bad, so you've got to pull yourself out of that and realize this is not that bad. It was just a couple of really weird plays strung in a row that put us in this deficit, so now let's go fight out of it. And we did for a little bit, and then about the time we dropped that big one, to Malik right there, about the time we dropped that was when our win kind of went out of our sails, and I didn't see much after that.
Well, and then there was I think you had SIU stop twice and we're going to get the ball back again, but there was two unfortunate pass interference flags, and the last one was when they tried to fake a punt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you got guys in position to make a play. Like I said, I would feel very bad if all of a sudden they faked a punt and that dude ran scot-free. But we've got guys to make a play, and we're just not making the play right now. We don't have the mentality right now that we can make that play. And obviously that falls on me as the head coach, and that's something that I've got to get corrected starting tomorrow.
All right, Coach, we'll let you go. Good luck next week against SEMO.
Thank you.
All right. Head coach Mitch Stewart, back up to you, Neil.
That is Racers head football coach Mitch Stewart. So the Racers will be back in action coming up this Saturday, the OVC opener against Southeast Missouri. And you heard Mitch say they have some soul searching to do. And I don't have any doubt they'll have to play better than they have to beat Southeast Missouri. Now, SEMO's coming off a loss as well, but it was a narrow one. Isaac Harker threw three touchdowns, the last one to Miles Thompson with 10 seconds to go. Indiana State coming back to win 27-24 against SEMO. So they were that close to getting a win over a Missouri Valley Conference team, but they didn't. The Redhawks had taken the lead on from Cameron Sanders, 24-13 with 8:58 remaining. And then Harker led a 7-play, 68-yard drive for that final margin. During the drive, 4th and 8 at their own 41, Harker found Tanyan for 9 yards. Harker then went 5 of 8 for 53 yards on the scoring drive. And Indiana State beat SEMO 27-24. So tonight we'll talk about the Southeast Missouri game as the Racers will kick it off at 6. Family weekend should have a great crowd. And we do not know the status of Katie Humphreys. They had set him hoping that he would have recovered from the sprained shoulder enough to play Saturday. That might be a decision that they do make later in the week, to be honest about that. Let's take a look at the rest of the OVC scores. Turnovers proving costly for Tennessee Tech. 3 miscues started scoring drives for the Mercer Bears Saturday. The Golden Eagles fell 34-27 at Five Star Stadium. Tech opened the game with a fantastic punctuation. Dontez Bird breaking loose for a 100-yard kickoff return on the opening kick, but Tech unable to make that hold up for the win. For the second straight week, the Tennessee State Tigers fought off miscues to secure a 31-24 win over Bethune-Cookman. The Tigers called for 15 penalties, about 150 yards worth, and committed 3 turnovers, but they still won. And for Tennessee State, despite all of those kind of problems, man, they're 3-0. O'Shea Ackerman-Carter, their quarterback, connecting on a 71-yard touchdown pass to Steve Newbold. He finished with 112 yards, completed 3 passes in 7 attempts. So TSU running the ball a lot, and they've been successful. But to be a better team, they're going to have to cut way back on the penalties and the turnovers, although they're 3-0. As long as they keep winning, I guess, who cares? 2 turnovers and 9 penalties in the first half put Eastern Kentucky in a 27-point hole. They never recovered, losing to Ball State, but it was a paycheck game. 41-14 on Saturday was the score in that one. Tennessee Martin unveiling their new press box and facilities at Hardy Graham Stadium. Seen photos of that, seen some video of it. Really, really looks nice. And again, that place has gone from something that, and I don't mean anything embarrassing by it, but when they were led into the league, it was kind of looked like an old high school field, an old high school stadium. But now it's really, really fantastic. They bought the Carroll Building. They built the stands across the way. And then on the side where the press sets, it is really super. So they've done a wonderful job. They've stepped it up in football, and they have on-the-field results to show for it. Jason Simpson, the head coach, has done a terrific job. They didn't expect any sort of a problem Saturday, and they didn't have one. 84-6, the final over Bacon College, and an easy victory there for UT Martin. 12 touchdowns on the day, and I think they only had, 300-and-something yards in total offense. So they were starting deep in Bacon territory most of the time. A couple of big wins for the league, saving the best to last, I guess. Addison Bounds recovered an onside kick with 31 seconds left as Eastern Illinois secured a 24-21 upset of fifth-ranked Illinois State. This is the same Illinois State that the week previous had beaten Northwestern out of the Big Ten. This game, called the Mid-America Classic, when Illinois State plays Eastern Illinois, that was the first Eastern Illinois win over a top-five opponent since November of 1992 when the Panthers defeated top-ranked Northern Iowa. Illinois State falls to 2-1 on the season as they open the Missouri Valley Conference play next week. And then Jacksonville State, the number four team in the nation, getting a visit from 17th-ranked Coastal Carolina. Now, Coastal Carolina playing as an independent this year. They still get votes in the FCS poll because they're an FCS school, but in the coaches' poll, if you are ineligible for the championship, they don't consider you eligible for votes. So Coastal Carolina, while 17th ranked in the stats poll that I vote in, is not in the coaches' poll because they do not get votes. Nevertheless, they're a really good team. They'll be going to the bowl division next year where they'll compete in the Sun Belt. And the Chanticleers led in the fourth quarter. They had their chances late, but really great defense. And listen to this. If you think the Racers are having trouble carrying the ball, and Coastal Carolina runs it pretty well, but not Saturday. They hadn't been limited to less than 100 yards a game since 2013, and Jacksonville State held them to 1.2 yards per carry. 1.2 yards per carry. And 42 yards on 35 carries for Coastal Carolina. They just basically shut down the run. That limited what Coastal Carolina could do. Still, Jacksonville State barely able to escape, but they did with a 27-26 victory. And Jacksonville State, I don't know if they'll move up in the polls. Yeah, they might, probably will. Richmond, the number two team, lost, so you might look for Jacksonville State to at least bump up a notch, probably to number three this week in the poll. I think that's where I had them. I believe so. Also gave votes to Eastern Illinois this week. I believe they earned them. So I was so close the week before, and they're in. Bowl division win followed by a top five win. I have them in, I think, at 23 this past week. So some good wins for Kim Dameron and crew there for Eastern Illinois. Those are all the scores. Some other college football. Ed Marlowe, you may recall, was on Wednesday's show. He wanted to see what Louisville would do against a good team. Let's see what happens when Florida State comes to town. Well, Florida State came to town, and they left with their tail between their legs, a 63-20 win for Louisville over Florida State. Lamar Jackson, four touchdowns, threw for another. What a season. I think he has 18 touchdowns, and I forgot how many more that is than a bunch of FCS teams have. With that win, the Cardinals move up to third ranked in the latest AP poll. The Cardinals face Marshall this week. Kentucky, no problem with the offense. Benjamin Snell ran for four touchdowns. Stephon Johnson added three touchdown passes. Kentucky with a 62-42 win over New Mexico State. Remember, they gave up 42 to New Mexico State. New Mexico gave up 32 to New Mexico State. So that isn't good. The Cats at home against South Carolina Saturday, but even though that's a win, it's still that doesn't bode well, giving up that much. Nicholas Norris, career high with 11 catches, 187 yards. Western Kentucky beats Miami, Ohio, 31-24. WKU 2-1. Only lost the game they should have lost to Alabama. Boys soccer Saturday, Murray High with a pair of wins. They beat Wayne County 7-0. They beat Greenwood 4-1. Girls soccer, Castle, Indiana beat Callaway County 4-0. Evansville Wrights beat Callaway County 1-0. Local high schools heading in opposite directions. Callaway County scored early and often. They rolled Trigg County 40-22. The Lakers are 3-1. They're at Madisonville North Hopkins Friday night. Meanwhile, Marshall County had its first three-game winning streak in 6 years now. They smashed Murray High 42-3. The Tigers on a four-game slide when they host Russellville this Friday, the home opener at Ty Holland Stadium. The other scores, Battle of the Birds goes to Mayfield, 42-14 over Graves County. Tillman beat Madisonville 48-21. Pulaski Academy, Arkansas, crushing McCracken County 56-14. That tells me I would not want any part of that team. Gibson County beat Fulton County 49-12. And the Banana Bowl, South Fulton, the winner over Fulton City, 48-0. Caldwell County, a 35-6 winner over Henderson County. Christian County, this was a terrific game at the Stadium of Champions as they play well in the second half, come back to beat Hopkinsville 19-16. Crittenden County, 28, Webster County, 6. McLean County beat Hopkins Central, 42-20. Murray State Golf finished with the final round 290 on Sunday. Placed 13th in a field of 18 teams at the EKU Classic in Richmond. Freshman Avery Edwards led the racers with a third round 68. He finished at 215, good for 31st place. Gabe Wheeler in 34th with a 216. The racers in action next Monday and Tuesday at an event hosted by SIUE. Murray State Volleyball lost both matches Saturday after winning against St. Louis Friday in the Billiken Invitational. The Racers losing in straight sets to Illinois. Then they lost a close five-set match to Omaha, losing the final set 14-16. Rachel Gustino, named to the all-tournament team, led the Racers on the day with 13 kills against the Illini, 16 against Omaha. The Racers back in action as they open OVC play Friday night at 7 against UT Martin at Racer Arena. Murray State Soccer off yesterday. They're in action tomorrow against St. Louis. Murray State Women's Tennis got their fall season underway at the Austin Peay Governors Tennis Center in Clarksville, winning a pair of matches in the first flight. Claire Chang defeating Martin's Andrea Plantada, 7-6, 6-1. Alina Schiebel, a 2-1 win when Rada Manitowat of Central Arkansas retired due to injury. Sarah Bjork defeated Haley Brunning of Lewis, 6-4, 6-1. And Hannah Rickard defeated Megan Collin of Lewis, 7-5. 6-3. Doubles play. The Racer duo of Chang Schobel defeated Potter. Beat a Martin. Martin duo. The name in this one, J-U-M-A-M-J-H-A-N-B-E-T-O-V-A. Last name. No idea how that's pronounced. And I would give it a shot if they sent a pronunciation guide with it, but they didn't. Anyhow, they win their doubles match. The Racers get their next action. This coming weekend, they'll play at Central Arkansas in a multi-team exhibition in Conway. Murray State women's and men's cross-country teams ran Saturday at Vanderbilt at the Vanderbilt Commodore Classic at Percy Warner State Park in Nashville. The women's race, Valerie Corr, placing 29th overall with a time of 17:49. Overall, the racers finished 15th in 25 teams. The men's side saw Murray State's Mark Ventura lead the racer team with a time of 26:22 in the 8K event, placed 87th. The racers finished 22nd overall. They're at Austin Peay this weekend. Alex Reyes combined with two relievers on a five-hitter. The Cardinals shutting out the Giants 3-0 in San Francisco. Reyes with seven innings of four-hit ball. Aledmys Diaz hit a two-run homer. Johnny Peralta single in a run. The Cardinals split a four-game set. The Cardinals are a game behind the Giants for the second National League wild card. Cardinals continue the road trip in Denver tonight. They play the Rockies in the first of a three-game set at Coors Field. Carlos Martinez goes for his 15th win opposite Colorado's Tyler Anderson. First pitch at 7:40, airtime 6:45 on WNBS. Titans get a win yesterday. Marcus Mariota threw a pair of fourth-quarter touchdown passes to lift Tennessee past Detroit, 16-15 at Ford Field. Andre Johnson with the go-ahead touchdown, a 9-yard strike with a minute 13 to play. Mariota, 25-33, 238 yards and an interception for Tennessee. They're 1-1. DeMarco Murray, 89 yards on just 12 carries. Some sad news for Kentucky fans. Former UK basketball player Charles Hurd has died. Hurd died Friday after a battle with cancer. He played for UK from 1980 through 83. Been a standout at Shelby County High School. Hurd was 55 years old. Grizzly center Marc Gasol has been cleared to play after recovering from a broken right foot. Gasol was hurt in February after missed the rest of the season and the Olympics. Memphis opens training camp September 27th at FedEx Forum. And we have some high school soccer today. Boys-girls doubleheader, Mayfield at Callaway. And on the girls' side, Murray High will play at Henry County. Coming up tomorrow, we'll get a big scoop of college football. Josh Planos on site for one of the big upsets of the weekend as Nebraska took down Oregon. We'll talk about that game and some of the others and what's coming up this week on tomorrow's Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.